Hey, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I thought I would just talk about fines this week. And I want to go a little beyond that, but it's fines, OSHA versus the FCC, which it's not really a competition. No one wants to be on the losing end of that battle on either side. You don't want to get fined by anybody. You know, you really want to just obey the rules, you know, as best you can. Let me put it that way. Some are silly, some are dated, but for the most part, you know they're doing their job the best they can, and they're stretched thin. So if you do something that gets the attention of OSHA or the FCC, maybe you should think about what you're doing. Now, accidents happen. OSHA usually looks at an accident and to see what went wrong. With the FCC, if you get fined by the FCC, it's usually for something obvious, like, say, tower lighting. Your tower light goes out, and it takes you like a week to get to the FAA to notify them. That's a problem. But with that, and the you know, if you have a good excuse, like most tower lights are alarmed. They test the alarms. They make sure they're lit. It's not like someone's out there watching the light and said, "Hey, the light went out." In fact, most neighbors that have to deal with the light probably are happy when they go out. But they've come a long way, so it isn't like they're the just a big bright light up there in the tower anymore. The beacons are, you know, beginning to get advanced on the towers that put the new ones in. Some people just don't want to spend the money, so getting off subject. Sorry, guys, but what I wanted to write about this week, or what I did write about this week, was that I wanted to go over, like, OSHA and the FCC. I know we give them a hard time, right? So I wanted to start out by saying they're up against a lot. You know, they're dealing with a lot of issues. And I bring the FCC into it because the FCC is going to help push the tower safety workshop that they're doing. That's why I brought this up. And also, OSHA has been issuing a lot of fines. So I thought it'd be sort of fun to compare the fines. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, they're up against a lot. You know, they only have so much manpower. They're a government agency, so they're drowning in bureaucracy. You have a lot of smart guys there. Most of them aren't allowed to say anything publicly. You know, their hands are tied. It isn't like they can go on Facebook and rant. They have a blog. Their blog probably gets cleared by four levels of people before they can put anything out. When they make a statement, that's why you always see, like, the higher-ups making statements, because they don't want anyone to say anything wrong. They're a government agency. They don't want a black eye. They don't want to look bad. You know, I could go on and on and on. It's a government thing. But what I wanted to talk about was they do issue a lot of fines. They do research a lot of things. And they don't just write a fine. It's not like a traffic cop where it's black and white. You were doing 80, speed limit 70. That's that. They have to go out and research it. If there's an accident, they have to try to recreate the accident. If something broke, they have to find out what happened. I'm going to tell you a story. Years ago, there was a kid that was killed in Pennsylvania when he fell off the tower. And what he did was, tower had climbing pegs. And he didn't tie his safety off to a cross member. He just tied his positioning lanyard off to a climbing leg. And I know what he was thinking. He was thinking, hey, I'm in a hurry. You know, I'm going up and down. I'll take a break here for a minute. Or he was doing something. I don't know what. But, the kid fell. So they looked up there. They inspected it. Climbing peg's broken. So then, back then, you know, there was really no regulation for 100% tie off. But the kid was tied off. It was with his positioning lanyard. He was tied off to something that we don't recommend you tie off to, a climbing peg. And, you know, I wrote a few posts on that, so you can look for stuff like that. It's on the internet. So you're supposed to tie off to something that can hold, it's like 1,500 pounds, you know. It's supposed to be able to hold your weight and the impact of the fall if something happens. But I get what he was doing. You know, I mean, years ago I did it a lot. You know, you tie off to a climbing peg. Climbing peg, in this case, broke. It was an old Roan tower. And to get into the detail, what happened was there was a flaw in the peg that caused it to rust from the inside out. So when, and believe it or not, I know the one guy that was on this case. I'm not going to mention names or companies, but there were three people that went out there, I don't know how many days, a day or two after, And I want to say one was the sheriff, the local sheriff, believe it or not. One was a guy that worked for the company. The kid worked for him. And one was, and you know, when you lose somebody like that, affects the whole company, affects the department, affects the people. The guy that worked with him, I don't know if the guy ever climbed again because he was on the ground. And the whole reason the kid did a second climb was because the other guy was sort of heavy. The kid said, hey, you know, I'll be up and down in no time. It's the end of the day. Everyone's in a hurry, guys. They were in a hurry, trying to get something done. They were hours away. They just wanted to get done so they could get home for the night. And this happened. So, I mean, you can just imagine how the other guy feels. You know, he was supposed to climb and he didn't. And just because he's slow, you know, a little heavy. And the other kid did it. So, sorry guys, didn't mean to go on with that. But anyways, peg rusted from the inside out. But they had to find the peg to prove it, right? Or at least the other broken piece. So they literally, it's in the middle of a field. It was a sheriff. I think it might have been a guy from OSHA. And it was the supervisor. And they just start walking out from this field, right? I mean, they don't have metal detectors or anything. They're going through the grass, high grass, you know, looking down, feeling around, looking for anything that might be on the ground. And believe it or not, after about 3 or 4 hours, they found it. And it might have been a different time frame, but that's what I believe he told me. They found the peg, issued it as evidence, and OSHA took it, right? So the sheriff marked it. I think he took a couple pictures, but OSHA took it, and it was a flaw with the tower. Now, unfortunately, I don't have your history of the Roan Tower, but at that time, the original Roan went under. And it wouldn't even been Roan's fault. It was a manufacturing process and so on and so on. You know, then it becomes a gray area. You look for what happened for two reasons. One, you know, the family's probably looking for some money out of it. They got to figure out who to sue, which if Vicky Cassiorg's book, she talks about where some climbers, you know, were they were being lifted up on a hoist. And the bolt that held what they were on, the structure they were on, broke. So that went all the way back to the bolt manufacturer who did settle. And she said that on my blogcast of with Vicky Cassiorg. That was interesting because the bolt was faulty. The company knew the bolts were faulty. They didn't recall them for whatever reason. But these particular, I think it was a bolt in like a, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. Well, it was in a clamp, but it wasn't called a clamp. It wasn't a hasp. Oh, guys, sorry, I forget, but just drawing a blank right now. But anyways, this bolt failed. Bolt company knew it. For whatever reason, they didn't recall the bolts. They did issue a paper. Of course, back then, no internet, you know, so unless you get it in snail mail and let everybody know. And when you're buying bolts, you don't exactly give your name and number when you buy bolts, you know, you just buy a ton of bolts, a ton of clamps, a ton of halves. It was a shackle. It was a bolt and a shackle that was faulty. So anyway, back to this. Climbing peg's bad. OSHA gets it, reviews it, finds out that whoever made it was at fault. Of course, the company that made it, I don't believe they were in business anymore. So what do? You're screwed. It's just the way it worked out. So with all that said, that's why they do the investigation. And for you guys that say the investigation is black and white, that would be wonderful. Just like the speeding ticket. I got you doing 80. Speed limit 70, black and white. Guys, when you're dealing with something like this, they have to look at every angle. Was he tied off? What's the equipment look like? Is it a bad peg? Is it a bad bolt? Did the safety equipment give? Did he just slip? Was it incompetence? Was there a competent person on site? What do the witnesses say? And I got to tell you, with the way everyone's calling 911, you got to wonder if the witnesses are even paying attention. Guys up there in the tower, like that guy that just recently dehydration and heat stroke. Who's watching him? If someone were watching him, maybe they'd have sent a couple bottles of water up, you know? Anyway, so I thought this would help. I thought it would show you guys what OSHA and FCC are up against. And I also thought it'd be fun to compare fines, you know, make it like a little competition. Now, none of us want to get fined by either one, but it's going to open up your eyes. And you know what? This is going to make sense to you unless you know someone that was lost in the industry. If you know a fallen climber, none of this matters. You know why? Because someone died that you know. When I don't know how to explain this, but you know, you can look at this and say it's a sad day in the industry. You know, our brothers and sisters, really brothers. I haven't seen any women, which I'm not complaining. I haven't seen any women die this year. Thank God. Let's keep it that way. But, you know, if you know someone that died and it affects you personally, it's tough to understand what the hell they're doing because you know someone that died. And I think, obviously, you know, if someone high up in government, the president, you know, a senator, somebody like that, if they knew someone that died or if one of their kids died, what would they do? You think there'd be change then? Yeah, I do. Meanwhile, they just write it off as part of the industry. And I don't mean to be cold there. If you lost someone, I'm very sorry. But the reality is, when you know someone that died, it affects you in such a way that you have a hard time understanding why other people aren't taking it so seriously, especially government agencies. So, back to the, let's get a little lighter here. I was reading an article where the FCC imposed a $10,400 fine, and then it was reduced to $13,000 for tower lights were out. It was for Washington Gas, $13,000, because the lights were out. The reason for the fine, I don't know all the circumstances, but roughly the reason for the fine is that they took 5 days, I believe, to alert the FAA. If you read the article, that was what the fine was for. You're supposed to alert the FAA immediately. I mean, as soon as you find out, you alert the FAA. For whatever reason, Washington Gas, and I don't know if you know much about utilities. Oh, actually, it was 4 days after the outage. I said five. 4 days after the outage. But utilities tend to move slow. But for something like this, I don't understand why that there wasn't a process to alert the FAA. The minute they saw the alarm for the outage, I'm hoping they had an alarm, and maybe they didn't. Maybe the alarm failed. But I got to tell you, the FCC would understand if the alarm failed. But you're supposed to announce that right away to the FAA. It's a call. It's a simple phone call. It isn't like it's a big process. You let them know. I'm not saying you just say, hey, light's out in the tower. You got to have the coordinates, the address, and so on. You the information, and probably the FAA number to the tower. But you should have that already, right? I mean, if you have a NOC monitoring all this, which everyone pretty much does, it's a utility. I'm sure they have a kick-ass NOC. So I don't know if it just fell through the cracks or what happened. Sometimes that happens too. So you look at that. Light out, nobody hurt, no damage, $13,000. So then you got S&S Tower. Tower collapse, it killed two climbers. Second tower collapse, it killed a fireman. What do they get fined? $14,000. Three lives lost. Three lives lost. I don't know the details, and to be honest with you, I didn't look up the investigation. I probably should have for this article. Three lives lost, though. $14,000. So let's look at that. Here you have a light out. Nobody gets hurt. I mean, there was potential for damage, but you know, not a lot of jet airliners flying at like 300 or 400 feet off the ground. I mean, if you ever see any at 300 or 400 feet off the ground, chances are, it's coming down. You know what I mean? So, who it could hurt is the smaller jets, the smaller planes, and so on. But I'm just telling you guys, the fines don't seem balanced to me. I mean, here, the FCC's, and granted, they reduced it to $10,400. But it was, and I'm sure that's because there was some failure in the process. But all the same, the FCC fined somebody $13,000 standard fine for a light outage. OSHA's fining S&S Tower $14,000, three people dead. That's all I'm saying, okay? You guys, tell me what you think. You got plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Email, Facebook, whatever you guys want to do. So, what's going on? I mean, they're dramatically different in the result of what happened, you know? Even if you just look, let's say nobody got hurt, but the tower came down, or two towers came down. I mean, that's a major thing. It's a shame that I had to point out this case because it's so close and so fresh. But gosh, $14,000, doesn't that seem a little light? And maybe you guys tell me. Maybe I'm wrong. And they did an investigation. Maybe just an accident happened. Maybe it was purely an accident. And that's the other thing that OSHA has to look at. You know, the FCC can look at a violation like the light outage and reporting. I'm not saying it's black and white because there's other issues there, but it's real close. I go back to the cop and the speeding. So let's say you're doing 80, pulls you over for doing 80 in a 70. If your wife's pregnant or if you got someone bleeding in the car and the guy still gives you a ticket, that's crazy. Instead, the guy's probably going to lead you to the hospital, okay? So there's a gray area in the speeding ticket. The guy's probably going to let you off if you have a damn good reason for doing that speed, right? So, all right, guys. So I just I'm trying to understand why the fines are heavy or not heavy. You know, that's what I'm trying to understand. I know the FCC just recently changed a lot of rules, and maybe this is old news, but it's just trying to understand. So now let's go into the next one. And I know I bring up that on my cruise, I never had anyone get seriously hurt. You know, I never had a fine, and I thank God for that, you know. So let's look at how OSHA hammered Moreland Industries back on February 25th, 2014, this year. They saw two employees climbing without the proper gear on a monopole surrounded by trees, and they hammered them with a $35,000 fine, or $35,000 in fines. No previous violations. So the way I see this, this was a willful violation, right? So 35 grand is heavy, man, heavy. So what you got to look at, I guess the other guy, so you got to look at the investigation, because in the other one, they probably looked at everything and they couldn't find out what really went wrong. Was it an accident? Maybe it was just an accident, an oversight. I don't know, but man, 35 grand. On the other hand, what was Moreland Enterprises thinking? What was going on there? Ah, we're going to save $500 on a climbing. Well, it's probably more than 500. All right, let's say $2,000. We're going to save $2,000 on all the climbing gear that you need. Just go up there and fix it. You'll be fine. Well, here we are, $35,000 later. How's it feel now? I'm sure they'll protest it. I'm sure they'll complain about it. I'm sure they'll fire people over it. Probably people that, you know, don't deserve it. I don't know that, but anyone should have fought for that. I mean, it's crazy, right? I get it, but sometimes you look at it. I mean, it's just, it makes you wonder what's going on, but OSHA does the investigation. Very rarely, that one I think they settled, or they didn't settle, but that one I think they issued the fine really quick. That's what I meant to say. 35 grand is quite a bit. So, now I want to give you an idea. OSHA handed out about 8,241 fines for fall protection in 2014. And I had the link in there to the article. That's just fall protection. That's just fall protection. Assuming I read that article right, just fall protection. I go through their top 10 fines. Fall protection's up there. There's safety, chemical. There's a lot of stuff. Scaffolding, I think, is number 7 or 8. That's up there. But it's a lot of people. That's a lot of fines. 8,000 fines in 2014. Think about it. It's August. They're out there writing fines like there's no tomorrow. So they are stretched thin. You know, these guys are trying to investigate anything and everything. I think it's about time that they start splitting, and they might have this already, but they're going to have to start splitting people up for specialties. So why do I bring that up? I'm just showing you, these guys are busy. They're not just, you know, blowing things off. I think they're doing all that they can. So just want to give you an idea. Now, the FCC, I didn't see as many. I saw 90 total fines in 2014. But the FCC fines are so complicated. Like, in other words, they have fencing violations, emergency alert violations. They fine Intel for importing unapproved smartphones and tablets to the U.S. And Walmart was fined $120,000 for a wireless mic marketing issue. I don't know what it was, but, you know, Walmart, I think they agreed to pay $120,000. $120,000 for a wireless mic marketing issue. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess they look at the company and they figure Walmart's got deep pockets, so $120K. And Walmart paid that. I'm pretty sure they paid it. I got the link in there. you know, the FCC, it's interesting the way they do these fines. They got fines for everything. And the FCC, they look at it, so many things to do with communications. And I'm glad they pushed that. I'm glad they took the time to look into tower climber safety and injury prevention, because it's a big deal. You know, I mean, look at what they're looking at. They cover a broad spectrum, as does OSHA. OSHA covers every workforce out there. Think about it, guys. Think about, you know, just if you forget everything else, just think about tower construction. Think about the foundation that you dig out. Think about the base, you know, the concrete base that you put in. You know, think about all the hardware you put on, the steel work. Think about the shelter being put in. Think about the drivers that come to the shelter, that bring the shelter in, that bring the steel in, that bring the supplies in. Think about the engineers, the communication workers that put the equipment in the cabinet. Think about the climbers that do all the work on the tower. And then think about the electricians that come in and put everything in. Think about all the engineers that are involved in the mechanical aspects of the tower, you know, the design, the structure, making sure it can hold what it says it'll hold. Think about all the civil engineers that have to do the permitting and design for the groundwork, for the foundation of the tower, for the foundation of the shelter. Think about all the engineers that have to oversee it. Think about the project managers that have to manage everything. Think about all the people it takes. Right? OSHA's looking at all these industries for problems. It isn't like they're just looking at one. They're looking at everything. I'm sure they have people dedicated. I'd like to think in my head that they have people dedicated to the climbing industry, but I don't know that. You know, I wish I did. Maybe someday I'll get to talk to somebody there and find a little more out. So I just wanted to sum it up that in the wireless communications industry, the tower industry specifically, we have needs, but these departments are overseeing everything. That's my point. I just wanted to bring up a few violations on both sides, and OSHA, there's so many. Like, I gave you a link in there just to look at all the fines that they've dished out and everything that they're working on, because there's just so much OSHA's working on. The FCC, it doesn't seem like they're issuing as many fines, but like I said, they put way more research into everything. It's really something. But we have to, you know, in my mind, very optimistic person, I like to think they're doing all that they can. They're making improvements. They're finally beginning to see that we need change. We need something out there. And I think maybe that's the hardest part. What's the answer? You know, depends who you talk to. I'll bet if I talk to 100 different people, I'd get 100 different answers. They might be similar. Mentorship, training. We're doing training now, fellas. I mean, the training's happening. You can get trained for a day in climbing. You can get trained for 3 days, you can get trained for 5 days. And you know what? I wonder if OSHA is asking that question of these guys that get stuck. Not, you know, if they're dead, it's too late. But if they're stuck on a tower and they have to call 911 to get them down, I'd like to know how much those guys have been trained and who trained them. I mean, aren't you curious? I am. Curious what's going on out there. You never know. I mean, is that just, you know, Darwin's way of weeding out the climbers that shouldn't be out there? Or are these guys that are good that just had one bad accident? Or have they learned from it? Was that a learning experience that they won't do it again? You know, I don't know. I'd like to know. I guess I'm going to try to find out. You have those guys that fell but lived, which is a good thing because they're alive. You know, thank God they're alive. Are they still in the climbing industry? I don't know that either. Hard to get a hold of these guys. No one wants to talk to me or probably to many other people after that. And not only that, but if you think about it, if something happens like that that gains its high publicity, high profile, their companies are going to do everything to shut them up. I mean, it's just the way it is. They're scared of a lot of things. One, they're scared of, it's probably an ongoing investigation, so they're scared of getting fined. Could be a lawsuit, you know, they might be saying, well, you know, you had me out there alone and I could sue you for that because you were at fault. Did they get fined? I really don't know. I guess I got to research that. I guess I got to figure out how to learn to research that, I guess. Because all I do, you know, I can't really, I reached out to a few of these guys. I never heard back. Anyway, So my question for you, the reader, listener of the podcast, what do you think is fair? Do you think when the FCC fines Walmart for $120,000 for some wireless mic marketing or distribution issue? Yeah, it's a marketing issue. Do you think that was excessive? You think that was fair? Walmart has deep pockets. Do you think it's fair that when three people die, there's a $14,000 fine? Is that fair? Do you think that a company such as that Moreland Enterprises gets fined $35,000 for telling people to climb without the proper stuff, without all the safety equipment, without the proper harnesses, and says, just go wing it, without the proper training? You know, was that fair? $35,000 fine? If you look at all the FCC fines, I mean, there's so many, you could cover a broad spectrum, you know, fencing violations or the marketing issues or just obscenity issues are probably still in there. So I want to know what you guys think. Give me some feedback here. You have my email, you have the contact form in there. You can just let me know. So thanks, guys. And thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. And one thing, if you could give me a rating on iTunes, if you're looking for me in iTunes, you just got to type in Wade for Wireless, no spaces. I should pop up. That's what someone told me. Couldn't find me on iTunes. So go ahead, look on iTunes. I don't know how you subscribe on Droid. I have an iPhone. But yeah, do me a favor. Subscribe, write a review, let me know what you think, give me some feedback. I'm still looking for near miss stories. I got some more, believe it or not. Really love the near miss stories. And I think what I might do is maybe, I like the blog and everything, but I'm thinking about making it a newsletter. So I might have you guys sign up your email address so I can send out, you know, a letter every time I release a blog. If you want that, I know we all get so many emails. That's why I was hesitant in doing it, because, God, I get so many emails a day, as probably you guys do. I lose a lot of emails just because you get bombarded, you know, you try to weed out all the spam. So if you guys are interested in getting this in email form, let me know. I'm going to try to work that out, too. Still looking for some feedback on not only your near miss stories, but I'm just looking on feedback in general of articles you might want me to write. What I'm going to do, I don't know if I'll get it done for the next podcast, but I want to get together a story on the RF radiation hazards, because nothing's official. I talked to the FCC about it. They have some brilliant guys over there. Just brilliant. And I was talking to those guys about the FCC radiation. I can't quote anything. I couldn't write an article. I can't really refer to the FCC, but they gave me a ton of documentation, and that's why it's taken me so long, just because I've been so busy lately. I really want to get something out to you guys. It's something that I think that would really help us. Also, and this is a little off the wall for this, I also want to do another article on ticks, because believe it or not, I don't know if you guys heard this, and I didn't publish a story because I got to do more research, but it was on NBC News that there's another tick. I think it's a Texas, is it the Texas deer tick? I think it's a Texas deer tick. Now listen to this. Now, I didn't write this in there, so this is a podcast exclusive. The Texas deer, if you listen to the end, the Texas deer tick, if you get bit by this tick, it can cause an allergy to meat. Swear to God. The Texas deer tick, if you get bit by that, and I don't know what to bite, you know, they just say bit. That's all they said. That's why I got to research it. But I'm going to look into that. And the reason I'm telling you guys, because you're out in the field all the time, hopefully you're putting, you know, all the stuff on your boots and everything to kill the ticks, because it's a pesticide. Don't put it in your skin. I don't think that's good. I didn't see any harm written on there, but just put it in your boots. That should be good enough. If you have long sleeves, maybe put it in your long sleeves, maybe your gloves. So maybe not your gloves, because you'll probably scratch your face at some point. But the Texas deer tick causes allergies to meat. So how weird is that? Now, I don't know many vegetarian tower climbers. I can't think of one. I don't know any. We all eat meat, right? But could you imagine? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you're eating a steak and you get sick. You're eating a burger, you get sick, and you don't know why. You're trying to figure out why, and it's because of a tick bite. I mean, that's so bizarre, so weird. Anyway, I thought that would interest you guys. So when I get more information on the Texas deer tick, I'll do a story on it. It's just so new, but NBC News reported on it. So, and they're everywhere. When it says Texas deer tick, that doesn't just mean it's in Texas. There are people getting bit mostly on the East Coast and in the South, but I think maybe even on the West Coast now. I think ticks have spread pretty much everywhere. So, but I thought that was interesting. That's just your interesting tidbit for today. Texas deer tick, meat allergies. And I didn't do any research yet. Like I said, I just saw it in the news. I thought that would be something interesting. But I think it's something you got to look out for. You guys are outside. You got to be careful. Tick bites are common. All right. All right, everyone. Be safe. Be smart. Make a plan. Follow the plan. And pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing right then. Pay attention to the plan. Pay attention to what you're doing. And don't forget, when you have those tailgate meetings, have a good safety plan. If you're at a company and your company doesn't have a good safety plan, it's a problem. You got to bring that to their attention. So if they publish a safety plan, it'd be good to review it and look for flaws. They're not going to want to hear it, right? But what you can do is when you're out with your crew, you can modify the plan to make sense. Now, when I say modify the plan, you know, you're going to have to call 911. I'm not, if something bad happens, I'm not saying don't call 911. What I'm saying is make sure you have the address of the site. You got a safety book. Maybe you have directions there that you could give the EMTs or the fire department if they do have to come, the ambulance, whatever happens. Just make that a habit to do all that. And one of the things, I was just talking to Doug Lee of Lee Tower, and he was telling me about how, you know, he would get these jobs last minute and have to go out to the tower last minute. And he's sort of like I was. He tries to do a lot himself with him and another guy. And I don't like anyone doing anything themselves. Trust me, you should have a crew. But if you do things last minute, try to explain to the project manager, whoever sends you out, how important safety is. And if they blow it off, maybe that's not who you want to work for, okay? I know the carriers hiring a lot of people. The carriers are becoming very aware of safety, very aware of safety issues. They know that if something goes wrong now with the way OSHA's right looking at accidents, it's going to bleed back to them. I don't care if it's three or four layers deep. If you have turf vendor that hires a GC, that hires a sub, that hires a sub, that hires a sub, and then finally the tower crew is working for $10 an hour, that's got to change, gentlemen. And I do see it with Sprint. I see them hiring a lot of their own people, which is smart. You know, for one, they're probably getting a better, when I say their own people, let me rephrase that. They're hiring their own contractors, their own climbing companies. They're not going, they may have one turf vendor, but they're very particular about how they handle it, which is amazing. But they don't like going three layers deep if possible. And I think that's going to change. I think everyone's going to start being more aware of who they're hiring and who's doing the actual work. I think that's, hopefully OSHA and the FCC, well, they probably won't look at that at the first meeting, but I'm just hoping they look at the details. It's easy to do a high-level thing like, Nate has 100% tie-off, which is very important, but I think we have to go a level deeper. I don't think we can just say 100% tie-off and that's that. And these recent losses we've had in the industry are older gentlemen. It isn't like we can't blame the greenhorn thing or the training on them. I'm not sure what happened. And I just got to, we all have to read into it. So anyway, getting off track. I'm going to end this, wrap it up. Be safe, be smart, pay attention to what you're doing. Make sure you always have a plan. See ya. Be careful.